Welcome to Honeymoon Mindset. We are passionate about helping everyone be in an everlasting honeymoon phase just like us. We will teach you how to get to paradise in your relationship and stay there for the long haul. Shy away from real talk? No way. We cover it all. Fights, sex, past relationships, family issues, and way more. We are your hosts, Beth and James Deppa.
We hope everybody's had a great week. This week, we're going to be talking about something that frustrates a lot of couples, and that is parenting. How to parent, how do you do parenting? And we have some experts here that have three wonderful kids, and they are Matthew and Kimberly Mullen. Say hi.
Hello.
Well, hello, guys.
Thanks for having us. We're excited.
We're very excited.
Very excited to have you. I guess to start off, do you just want to tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Sure. So Matthew and I met 20 years ago now, and we've been married. Next month we'll be 19. We have three amazing children. They are 10, 7, and 4. And we have been through it all with our parenting until we got on the same page. And now we inspire to help other parents do the same.
Yeah, James, awesome. You touched on something there, frustrating with parenting, and that's something we're not having an issue with lately.
Lately.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it comes back. Yeah. Don't trust. Yeah, lately. Yeah. There's good and bad. So, and when you are on the same page with somebody as a parent, your frustrations are going to get so much lower and your temperament's going to be much better and you just enjoy it more.
For sure.
Definitely.
How did you guys get on the same page, or what was it like before?
Before we were on the same page, it was extremely frustrating. We definitely did not agree on how to parent. We fought about it all the time.
And I have a quick question. Sorry to interrupt.
No, go for it.
Was this something that was talked about before marriage? I mean, did you think you were on the same page of parenting? Or did you just...
Oh, yeah, before you have kids, I mean, you're the best parent in the world. And then I've had to go back and apologize to about 10,000 people who I would look at and look down upon until I have my own kids. And now I'm like, wow. And I've got a list, and it's still going. I'm still trying to apologize to those people.
We did talk about it a bit before, and we did, well... When we got dogs, that's when I started thinking maybe we're not going to be on the same page, because we weren't on the same page with the dogs. And our counselor at the time told me, they're dogs, they're not kids. You can't compare them. But yeah, I was right. We weren't on the same page.
And that lasted for, that's lasted for 10 years. Our oldest is 10, and it's been four or five months now that we've been on the same page. It hasn't been, you know, the page has been ruffled and torn a little bit, but the page is really good compared to what it used to be right now.
So I'm sorry I interrupted you. What was it, you know, give us an example of what it was like before you got on the same page.
Well, when we first had our first daughter, so actually we lost our very first daughter.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That is okay. Thank you. That was 18 years ago, and wow. It took us 8 years to then have another child. And
that's life-changing, I'm sure, in itself.
Absolutely. It was a very traumatic situation. And then when we were able to finally have our 10-year-old, I became very controlling because I had tried for her for a long time, and everything was going to be exactly how I wanted it to be. And I didn't...
That's understandable.
Yeah. I did not give Matthew a lot of say in how to raise her. And that would be very frustrating for him. And
I felt like I had a lot of say, but it was in the wrong context. My say would come when I would come to a boiling point and a breaking point, to where I'd want to scream, yell, discipline beyond belief. You're going to do it this way, because I've kind of took a back seat. And then when I wanted to parent like I thought it should be, is when I would just get back against the wall and fire back, and it would never make it any better.
No, definitely not. And for both of us, having kids made our generational patterns that we didn't realize were so ingrained inside of us come out. I come from a family of screamers and yellers and throwers and some violence. And I never in a million years, I was like, I will never do that. I will never do that. And then with him and I being frustrated with each other on parenting and fighting, and if we weren't getting along, then it would build up in me and I'd scream at the kids and I couldn't. That would create this whole shame cycle because I could not believe I would yell at my children, especially to the level I was doing it. So it was actually, I would say it was
very tough. And a lot of yelling at each other, yelling at the kids.
Yelling at each other in front of the kids.
Yeah, stuff we said we'd never do, we were doing. And I was raised more of a, not disciplinary. My mom was wonderful. It was just more to the point with me. So it was hard for me to want to try and actually speak with the kids and find out what was going on with them. And ultimately that breaking point came to us just breaking up and her leaving me. So, and that was
about a year and 5 months ago.
So would you, and definitely feel free to skip this question if you'd like to, do you feel that the parenting was that breaking point? Or was it other things that...
There were other things piled on to it. The parenting was a piece of it for sure. Because that was probably what we fought most about, but there were definitely other factors. And it just got to a point where I started understanding what generational patterns were and actually seeing what we were doing to our children and how toxic it was. And it just got to a point where I was like, I can't do that to the kids anymore. I have to leave so that I can heal myself and be a better mom. And then he's going to have to make his decisions on if he decides to heal himself.
Which I did.
Yeah.
A year later.
Yeah, it took him a while.
Took me a very long time. So I was extremely hurt. I was 18 years. It was made to feel like I felt like it was all my fault. That's just my own opinion. That's how I felt. It was not the case. But
we all view things in our own eyes, not necessarily. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
We were not living together for that full year. I was finishing up a job in the Grand Canyon while we were traveling, and she went back to San Diego, and I just dove into drinking and self-pity and sorrow, and I was still in victim mindset. I was still in communication with Kimberly and the kids because it's my world, so I wasn't not going to be around them. But it took me up until about 6-7 months ago to finally, we're traveling again now, 4 months later. It's been about 6-7 months was when I finally, it clicked. I needed to hit rock bottom, I guess, for me to build myself back up. Because, we had built ourselves up for so long and it wasn't what it used to be.
Right.
When we had the kids, because we didn't have the time for each other anymore.
Exactly.
So then how did you guys start rebuilding your parenting skills so you guys got on the same page?
I would say we got ourselves life coaches. We've had a few different ones over the last year. And that really helped us learn how to communicate with each other better. And
so was that separate, together, a little of both?
The first one I got was for me, for my own personal growth.
Okay.
Then we got one that was for both of us, but we did it separately.
Okay.
She helped a lot. And then we did with a couple and we did it together with them. And that's where we really saw a huge change.
Okay. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. A lot of came out of that though. I mean, more than just change. We found the right people for us.
Mm-hmm.
And Kimberly had been taking courses. At this point, this last year, she's been working on herself like crazy while I was just diving into alcohol and drinking my beer when I got home. And now I finally turned that around and started working on myself. But she worked on herself so much and started finding different avenues, different courses, different coaching techniques that she learned a little bit about herself, about how she viewed me and how she was thinking it was all my fault or why was I doing this, to where we finally were able to look at each other and look back at each other. So if I'm looking at her, I'm just looking at her and what she's doing to me and why she's doing it. And now it's bouncing back to where I can look at myself and say, whoa, why am I doing this to her now? Right. And we're both doing that for each other, and it's wonderful.
We both learned how to take responsibility for our own actions.
So I think, kind of like James and I always say, what I'm hearing is you have to work on yourself before you can work together.
Absolutely.
You have to dig deep and heal what other underlying issues you have to be able to come out stronger on the other side.
And which, for them, it's helped with their parenting and make parenting them better as parents.
100 times better.
So another thing you guys, Matthew, you said was you do a lot, you guys have been doing a lot of traveling. How has that helped or hurt your parenting?
Well, it has helped and it has hurt. We started the traveling journey a couple of years ago now. Took the kids. We started homeschooling them. At that point, we got jobs in beautiful Yellowstone National Park. We're loving life. It was just the best 4 months, almost some of the best 4 months we ever had. But it also was a 4 months where we hadn't worked on ourselves. We just got out of our, we rented our home, and we got out of that situation, but we didn't really work on ourselves. So we had a great 4 months. But when that 4 months came to an end and we had to come to another situation, it fell apart again on us. And then it made it worse. And ultimately, we ended up splitting up traveling. Mm-hmm. Worked on ourselves, happy as can be again. And now we're traveling again because that's something we love to do. And we love to go around and show our kids the world.
Awesome.
Or at least the United States. In my RV, with the wheels. Anywhere the wheels, anywhere the wheels can touch.
I think being in the RV has been a huge blessing in that we really get to spend a lot of time with our children. Sometimes that is a little too much, but for the most part, even when we lived in beautiful San Diego, which who doesn't want to live there? It's beautiful, but we had jobs and we had school and we had gymnastics and we were doing the typical running like crazy, trying to pay the mortgage, trying to pay everything. And while we're traveling, we get to take our kids hiking. We get to do all these wonderful, beautiful things with them and really experience things through their eyes.
That's awesome.
How has your kids responded to the different changes in your guys' parenting style and with the traveling?
You want the honest answer?
Yes.
Of course. They know what they throw in our face now. When we've had an agitation or we're having a bad week, and that's the things we recognize about each other now more than ever, instead of blaming you, like, why aren't you doing this? What's going on? You know, and shaming. It's like, all right, you just take a step back and I'll get this one. But now the kids, if both of us are kind of like testy, kids are like, we don't parent this way anymore, remember? And so, yeah, they know. I mean, they know exactly what we're trying to do, and they're kids. They're gonna call you out on it.
Our oldest, especially, she was most affected by when we were pretty toxic. And I mean, they all were, but definitely the 10-year-old the most. And she thanks us now. Thanks us for having worked on each other. Thanks us for having brought our life coaches into our lives to make life better for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're teaching them amazing skills.
Yes.
For their whole life, but especially when they get to that point.
Absolutely.
Parenting and whatnot. And they've also seen, I'm sure you guys claim, errors.
Oh, absolutely.
So, claim them. We're stepping over ourselves every day still.
Yeah. Yes.
But they're not agitating us.
Right.
And that's what parents, I think, that's what I found the hardest is constant downing of myself because I feel like a terrible parent. Now I'm giving myself that leeway. If I'm having a bad moment and I raise my voice or I say something just because you're frustrated and you got three kids that are getting at your attention. I'm not beating myself up.
Yeah.
I'm just going to move on and try and calm. And things are not perfect.
Yeah.
But you know what? Our temperaments are pretty perfect right now because we're all coming back to the table in a happy mood when things don't go well. When things go right, great. Things are great, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But then that teaches them also that they can mess up.
Exactly.
Obviously, and maybe overreact or whatever mm-hmm. it is. But, you know, you've been these amazing role models to put them in check.
Right.
To be able to come back and be like, okay.
And they will. You know, they'll come back and apologize to each other or us, whoever they yelled at or whatever.
It's daily, and I know people say it, but having the change that we have, having gone through what we put ourselves through, and that's ultimately what we did it. So the ups, the downs, and yeah, I lost it. I've done that before where I had this is gone.
I know.
That was so good on the tip of my tongue. Somebody above just stole it and used it.
That's awesome.
Going what they see on a daily basis for us. And if we're not having a meltdown, and this still happens, or young, if they haven't been eaten, if we're not listening to their emotions and not even listening more. And actually, that's what I wanted to get at. My timetable for her, I feel it more than I ever did when I met this woman that I fell in love with. I loved everything about her. I knew every movement of this woman. I lost every nuance from her when we had the kids. We no longer had the time for each other. So now when I'm off, she knows it. And when she's off, I know it. I can just come in and tap and say, okay, you've had a long day, haven't you? I've been behind, you know, at work here. So yeah. And that's the great feeling about it. I mean, I don't think they're a perfect parent. I don't think they're perfect anybody in this world.
No.
And you can't tell yourself you're going to be, and you don't want to regress.
Right.
And when you do regress, don't beat yourself up for it, because your brain's just trying to trick you back to the easy parts.
Right. Exactly. Do you find yourself, the kids, trying to find loopholes or those magic buttons? I know, Kimberly, you're a little bit more with the kids and stuff, trying to get underneath to get away or to.
Yeah,
so if I do this, I can push the buttons just right. And
they definitely know my buttons. And mostly the two older ones will sometimes try to manipulate it, or they've, you know, done the, oh, mom said no, let me go ask dad, you know.
My kid doesn't.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But they do know the buttons. They're getting more respectful with it for sure. But there's always going to be moments where they want what they want and they're going to push to get it.
Oh, yeah. Human nature.
Yeah. Exactly. They're normal, in other words.
They're normal kids. Yeah. And they, you know, and you constantly are having to work on something new because they're learning just so much faster than we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when I give them something new to, okay, this is not working. They seem to be in a funk. They're kind of at each other. They're yelling at each other. Well, let me try this. And they get happy about it. It's a great thing. Well, we do it 3-4 times, and now they don't want to do that anymore. Right. So I'm trying to constantly change it up, but any parent knows you're tired.
Mm-hmm.
You got jobs, you're overworked.
Dinner needs to be made.
Right. The laundry needs to be done. So what I do is I try and throw some notes down on my phone, just keep it there. And I get some time. I try and put something on paper for the kids. And I just been, you know, we started sticking stuff on our walls because that's the easiest for me. Just, yeah, I don't care what it looks like. Just I know it's there so I can go to it if I need it.
I know you made in a post, Matt, on Facebook half a month ago about always hugging your kids and hugging those that are important to and appreciating being grateful. What is, besides that, what are some other things that you guys would recommend parents to do with that? Help them get on the same page and help get more connected with their kids too.
The biggest thing to get more connected with their kids is to spend one-on-one time with each one. And I know that's not easy in our busy schedules by any means, but it really, truly is the most important thing they need. I personally do one date a month with each kid. It's a couple hours long usually, where they get to pick what we do.
And I think you have a Facebook community?
Yes.
That is after that?
Yes, I created it almost a year ago. It's called Date Your Kids, and I created it specifically to inspire other parents to just slow down and be fully, completely present with their child. The only reason I have my phone on it is because we do take pictures while we're on our date, but it's not to be used for anything else. There's no phone calls. There's no checking social media. It's completely dedicated time to that child. What they want to do, they get to pick where we go within reason, of course. And just let them know that they're each individually special.
Right.
And they're super fun to hang out with when it's just one-on-one.
Yeah.
I get the other two. We haven't allotted the time yet to get me to do the one-on-one dates throughout the week because I'm working still. And, so when I have the days off, I'll take the other two and we go do some fun things and I do enjoy it. But like you said, do they try and, you know, manipulate or trick and do that? Well, it wasn't a trick or anything, but Sammy came to me today. She was having a hard time and I had to go in the other room and just lay down with her and talk to her as my 10-year-old. And, ultimately, what came out of it was is she wants more dates, but one-on-one with me, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's not getting that anymore because Sawyer and my other two kids are...
We had a very busy month this month, so this is a month they actually didn't get their dates. And she's failing that.
Yeah.
I had to leave town for a little bit. We've had visitors. I had a training I was doing that I had to study a lot for, so... Since I've started doing it, this is only the second month I've missed. The first one was when we got in the RV and moved again and we're traveling. So they were so pumped about that they didn't seem to notice it. But this time they did notice they didn't get that time.
So that just reinforces how truly valuable
how important it is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's great. Because I know, especially when you have multiple children, it's always, if you're going to do something, who wins, quote unquote, wins
right.
This decision of where you go or what you do. And then, so it's nice to be able to just have that one child and it's all about them.
Yeah, they love it.
I know, I wish I knew that when my kids were younger. I did maybe a 1% of that, like when I have two boys that if one was involved in something, say they were away at camp, I would try to do something special with the other one.
Great.
But I mean, that was also kind of a cop out. I mean, in a, you know, not like you guys are making these plans and setting up these specific times. It's like, okay, well, your brother's gone. So now it's right. just you and me right. and we'll do something. We'll go
sure.
to your favorite restaurant or we'll go, you know, you get to pick a movie or something like that. But, my kids at 19 and 23 still talk about some of those times too. So
that's awesome.
Definitely has an impact.
For sure.
What do you recommend or some date tips for parents who are on a limited budget or a tight budget, but yet want to find ways to spend with the kids?
Most of our dates are just at a playground. You don't have to spend any money. You can pack a picnic. But a lot of them have been. I mean, yes, I have brought them to the movies. Yes, I have bought them ice creams or we've gone out to eat. But most of them are local playground, pack a lunch. They just want to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
They just want you to actually get on the playground and play with them.
Right.
Instead of sitting on your phone, well, you hope they find a friend, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying I don't do that too. If it's not our designated time, if we're all just going to the playground, I'm like, you three play together. Mommy needs a break.
Yeah.
But when it's their designated time, I absolutely get up and play with them.
And it can be anything. And I know, I don't know all this.
Hike, walk,
if you can right now. I mean, it's obviously what we're going through right now. I don't know if all the playgrounds are open. So.
Oh, true.
I forgot about that when we were in San Diego. They closed the playgrounds for a while. Remember that?
Yeah.
And, you know what? And it's boring playing with kids. I love them. I love my kids. And my kids aren't at any age that, I would take that back. Sammy is, but now I've got Sydney and Sawyer who want to play along. And, you know, if I could play catch and play, I grew up playing sports. So that's my biggest thing as a parent is want to do that again. But I will.
Right.
play those Barbie dolls, and I have no problem with that, but it's, you know, it gets boring.
Yeah. I'm not your cup of tea.
It's not my cup of tea. So right now I'm trying to get those, yeah, I'm trying to get those kids fly fishing. But Daddy actually has to catch a fish before they'll probably actually want to fly fish.
Yeah, make it exciting.
It make it exciting. Oh, Dad hasn't caught anything. We're not going to catch anything. So I think deep fried tacos for some trout go really well, actually. Yeah.
So with your dating your kids and your Facebook, do you do parent coaching with that?
We don't do it through Date Your Kids, but we are. Our parent coaching, it's more all over family coaching. It's called Badass Family Coaching. And I just became certified in NLP coaching, which is neuro-linguistic programming. And that's all about helping you learn how to communicate with each other. It's all about yourself first and then communicating with all the other important people in your life. It's about integrating the subconscious and unconscious, subconscious and conscious minds. It's really quite fascinating. And I also learned timeline therapy, which is a way to release the five negative, major negative emotions, anger, sadness, guilt, fear, and hurt. And it's something that can be done pretty instantaneously and it's long lasting. So it's all quite fascinating. So that's something we're starting to get going right now. So we're going to have a separate Facebook group called Badass Families, and we'll have a page for our Badass Family Coaching.
Nice.
Badass is kind of our word with Badass Hiking Family.
And yeah, we just like saying it. It sounds good.
Fun to say.
It's badass. And we feel like we've gone through a lot, and we feel like we have a lot to share, and we're going through it currently. So it's not like, hey, you know, I used to have kids and, you know, when they were younger and no, what you're going through, we're going through right now too.
Right.
We are in it and we're problem solving every day. Hey, she just went to NLP. She's got her coaching mastermind. This woman knows what she's talking about. I just watched the kids 8 days by myself. Okay. If there's not,
I could go.
Yeah, if there's not dads out there like, we're signed up right now, I don't. Because I was freaked out.
And he survived.
Yeah, in 10 years, that would be the first time that I've had all three for that long by myself. So I got that going for me right now.
And much did you learn that week? Don't
worry. Oh, how much time you got? Because I realized within like 3 hours, I really don't have this at all. How much my wife does. How hard it is, how tiring it is. Because I have always been the one that has been away working, and I come home, and that was the biggest problem we had. I get home, I worked all day. Shouldn't you be raising the kids? That's your job. That just does not work. That just does not fly. That doesn't play. It doesn't do anything. So that was a great time. We went hiking. We went rock climbing. Went to some hot springs. People are like, where are these people going? There are places out there. You just got to look for them.
Right.
And there's some national parks out there that can treat you really well right now with everything going on.
Yeah.
And we had a blast. We had some downtimes. We had some bad parenting moments, but nothing I beat myself up over and nothing the kids beat me up over.
Awesome. And I bet you learned a thing or
two. I learned a ton that week that I have more appreciation for stay-at-home parents. And we'll say that parents as moms or dads who do it. That is just...
Absolutely.
You know what the biggest thing was? I realized I cannot get on time to anything. I am an hour late. So that was the biggest one. My time management was shot. And kids are still happy, and they were happy to see their mom and as well as I was.
That's awesome. Well, good job.
Well, thank you very much.
Good job keeping them alive.
I hear that. That's my job. But it really is. I mean, it's hard to do when you're not doing it. You're doing it really for the first time. I mean,
yeah.
I come home every night and try and help raise them, but it's not the same thing as having them for that long. 24/7.
8 days, like you said, that's a lot.
And I didn't go to work. I took the time off of work. I had them. So,
That was one of our biggest fights, though, is, you know, he'd come home and I would have been with kids all day and And I'd feel like, okay, well, when you go to work, and I have had jobs too, whereas when he's home, I used to be a massage therapist. I would go do that while he was on times he was home. And so we both had jobs outside of the house, but I was the one mainly home with the kids. And so, but my attitude was, when you're home, you're here and it's 50-50. When right. you're not here, I got it all, but we should divide it up when you are home.
You know, and I think that's very common, that it's not seen from the other point of view until exactly. you're put in that position to see what it really takes.
You really have to be in it. I know it just sounds kind of silly, 8 days, but trust me, that is 8 days where I've got three kids that are depending on me all of a sudden, solely on me. Mom is way far away. You know, I got a lot of I love yous that day. Daddy that week more than I ever get. And they were just walking around saying, I love you, Daddy. And they made me feel really special. And, you know, a little tidbit, a little tip that I came up with today, because we had friends in town and we were talking, that people talk about a one-way street, two-way street, but you also have to give to get. And a lot of our banging heads was, she didn't feel appreciated, I didn't feel appreciated. But
that was
huge. But when she started moving more towards the middle and I started moving towards the middle, both of us, now the appreciation's there again.
Right.
And it's not forced. You give, you get. And we started giving to each other. And then we, in return, we're getting the thank you, honey. I love you. You're doing a great job. And they just started coming naturally again, as opposed to fighting, and they were never coming.
Right. Right.
There'd be an occasional, hey, thanks for making dinner tonight. Love you.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we started out our relationship, so many of my friends would be in awe of us because they'd hear me on the phone with them and I'd just be like, oh, hey, thanks for taking out the trash today. I noticed you did that. And they'd look at me and be like, did you really just thank him for the taking out the trash? Like, shouldn't he just do that? And I was like, well, either one of us should do it. If it's full, you should take it out. And, and we were always so good like that. And then after the kids, we really did lose that. And it was just like, well, I did this today. What did you do?
Yeah.
And that's a lot of shaming, blaming.
Goes downhill quick.
Yeah. So another thing with parenting that just popped in my head when you're talking, that was, how do you handle discipline? Because, you know, there's a lot of those parents, I'm a good guy, good cop, bad cop, or you do all that. You're the fun one and I'm the strict one. How do you guys handle that as a couple?
As a couple, we have our own philosophy on our parenting. It's not everyone's. Our main philosophy on parenting, I believe, parents got to be on the same page. And I know it's cliche, but you have to be. If you want to parent in a happy household and not pull all your hair out, you have to be on the same page. So whoever, I think I'll let you take it from this point, Kimberly, our parenting, how we parent now.
Well, I would say that was our hugest fight over parenting was discipline. We definitely did not agree on how to do it. He thought I was way too soft and I thought he was way too hard. And again, we would shame each other and tell each other, oh, you're a horrible dad if you want to spank, or I'm a horrible mom because they walk all over me, or, you know, back and forth. And it did. It took a long time to get on the same page, for sure. But I think on the, I'm sorry. I think our kids
that
are running around yelling.
Yeah, sorry about that. It was a little distracting.
That was distracting. But
I
would
be
say
a good parent to check on one.
We are on the same. Make sure they're alive.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be watching the show.
That's why I think you don't do a lot of anymore shows.
Yeah, we cut back way on TV. Well, I was never a big TV fan, but that's something we had to get on the same page with, as well as how much TV can they have, how many games, like computer games, how much technical. Logical time at all was a fight for us, but we are on the same page with it now, and we really choose kindness, and we choose to talk to our children, because a lot of times, yes, Sawyer.
Speaking of talking to your children,
very important.
Mommy,
yes, buddy.
The Thompsons left.
Oh, okay.
Franklin's toothbrush.
Thank you for sharing that with us, buddy. Can you go back with your sisters now?
You're right.
We're going to throw that away, okay?
No.
Because it got dirty.
No.
Okay. We'll talk about it later.
You want to clean up the toothbrush then?
So our biggest thing now is really learning how to not react.
Yeah.
Because one of my biggest triggers is just react, just immediately with anger and yelling and screaming. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
That's hysterical. So trying to learn how to respond, especially when they're in the middle of a tantrum, like you have to let them feel their feelings. And something I learned over the last year from one of our life coaches was just that, let them feel their feelings, because I try and be a very positive person. Mm-hmm. And when my kids are being negative and just want to look at the, this went wrong, like we had a great day, but one thing went wrong and they just want to focus on that,
right,
it would really drive me insane and make me want to just blow up at them. Mm-hmm. And be like, why can't you look at all the positives? Tell me something good that happened today. And one of the things that one of my life coaches said to me was, you have to dive into the ugly with her. You have to let her get through that, and then she'll look at all the positives. And I was like, no way. But there was one specific thing she would harp on a lot for 3 years. She would bring it up over and over again.
Really?
And I would always be like, this again? Are you serious? Like, do we have to talk about it again? And then I finally listened to my life coach, and I finally said, yes, I do remember that situation. Let's talk about it. And we talked it through, and now every time she brings it up, she talks about positive things from that day.
Nice.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So it really, you know, when they're having their tantrums.
How are you?
So this is a great example of how we parent now. Just go with it.
Yeah.
We're doing this right now, and our youngest just walked in with a toothbrush. It's very important.
And he wants to be,
and
on,
he
the
wants to be on the call. So you know what? Here we are.
Sawyer, can you say hi to everyone?
Hi!
And so now, it's not easy, especially when three of them are going at it, or you know, you have more than one. Because when you have more than one child, you can't give them all your focus
best
at once.
Best day ever!
It is the best day ever, yeah. Buddy. He's going to be my motivational speaker. Yeah.
Woohoo!
Woohoo, buddy. What was I saying? But we dropped it. Our microphone fell. Let me hold it right here. and hold space for them until they can calm down and tell you the real truth behind it. Because normally it's a sadness.
Yeah.
Or something deeper than what they're really yelling about. Mm-hmm. And when you can figure that out, then you can connect to them on such a deeper level.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. And I think that's it. Like, you guys have already talked about when everyone's so busy,
mm-hmm,
and you're already at kind of your end of your rope.
Yeah.
And then
it's not easy.
Have a child that's melting down, the last thing you really want to do is have them explore those feelings. Yeah, you know, you just kind of want to push it under the rug and it's okay, it'll be better.
Right.
And
or not right now, I can't deal with you, yeah, right now. I got 10 other things going on.
Right.
So it's
right. Totally what life is, yeah.
Sawyer has just ripped the studio apart. You can't hear him anymore. We've got him playing outside now. We have technical difficulties again, but
there was no child harmed in this recording.
Yeah, this
so just roll with it and be happy. And yeah, are we happy all the time? Are we the best parents? No. But darn it, we're happier being parents. That's for sure.
Yeah, you know, I can honestly say I can honestly say that I was surprised at how many times I would think, I shouldn't be a mom. I don't know why the universe gave me children. I'm not good at it. I yell at them and beat myself up. And now that Matthew and I are on the same page, and I'm learning to connect with them in different ways with the dates and with learning how to deal with their tantrums and talk to them through them, I can honestly say I love being a mom, and it is a joy. There are still moments, and there are moments pretty much daily, but they're just moments now instead of an overall feeling of dread.
Very cool.
So wait, what were we eating for dinner tonight? I forgot what I was doing with the kid over there.
I handled it while you were gone.
She did awesome. Yeah, she gets a raise.
Fantastic. Where are you taking me to dinner?
The place you get 50% off?
Oh, I'll take that.
Any day of the week.
So any last advice to couples who are frustrated and don't know what to do with parenting and stuff, help them reconnect.
Sorry, I didn't interrupt you. But I think one of the reasons we thought this was good timing to talk about this, with COVID, I think parents are having to spend a lot more time with their children.
Absolutely.
Probably not by their choice.
Absolutely.
Right. And, you know, yeah, and some are doing homeschooling, again, not by their choice.
Mm-hmm.
And still, you know, potentially working their job and trying to figure all that out. But how to handle those stresses, because it's just been thrust upon them. And, you know, it really can be a blessing in disguise.
Absolutely.
I mean, you guys have definitely shown us that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess anyone who's listening that might be thinking, that's not me. Now I got to do X, Y, and Z, and I'm going crazy.
I've definitely seen parents on both sides of it. Ones that are like, they better open up the schools because I'm going to go insane and I can't do this. And especially if they're trying to work from home and still keep their job going and do the distance learning, that's beyond frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also seen parents who have reached out to me and been like, this has been a blessing in disguise. I'd never even realized how much I connect with my kid and how cool they are. And we're doing all kinds of fun things together. And I'm observing them and seeing the world through their eyes now. And that has really been a blessing for them. I would say to give yourself a lot of grace. It's definitely a hard time and everybody's handling it differently. I would say definitely give yourself a lot of grace and understand that I pray this is all temporary. We have done every kind of learning there is. We have done charter schools, public schools, homeschool curriculums, and whole life learning. Some people call it unschooling. I don't like that term just because I feel like it has a negative connotation of you're not teaching them anything. And that's completely untrue. It's really just learning through life itself, hands-on. They get to pick what they're interested in. You can do projects based on those things, and it all comes together. So we've done every kind of learning, and then we also did the distance learning this year because we did have our kids at the beginning of the year when Matthew and I separated. We did have to put them back in school, which was really hard for me because I had really grown to love the whole life learning thing, and putting them back in school, even though it was the charter school that they had been in before and that we loved. It was still hard knowing they were just sitting at a desk all day and stuff. So we were already considering pulling them out this year anyway before COVID hit. But COVID hit and we decided we're going to finish out the school year because we started it. We're going to finish it. So we did the distance learning and it sucked. It really did. Like a lot of it, I felt like it was giving a lot of people a bad idea of homeschooling because it's not true homeschooling at all.
Yeah.
The schools still expect you to get all the same work done. They expect you to be online for hours a day. Whereas with homeschooling, even if you do a curriculum, which there's a ton of great curriculums out there, you really only have to be online for an hour, 2 hours tops a day, usually an hour to an hour, a half a day. And then you got the rest of the day to go museums and go hiking and do all your learning hands on.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And I guess I was just thinking too, I was saying how hard this can be on the parents, but it really can be hard on the kids too with with the change with all this COVID. You know, there's some, I mean, for us my son that's home, it's really not a big change because he's an introvert and so he loves being home and it's, it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
But there are definitely kids that are not, they're extroverted and they, I mean, it's really hard when they're not able to see their friends and do the activities that they're used to.
Oh, and with my two kids that are still in high school, they've really, one is really, he's like lost his interest in one class because he was supposed,
they're supposed to be a hands-on class.
Hands-on class, taste a bunch of different wildlife animal meat and stuff. And he's like,
and I went completely online.
And he's like, I lost all interest in it. I have no desire now because now it's just a boring old class.
Yeah.
You know, and even my oldest one too, he struggled a little bit, but he hung in there better than his younger brother. And they didn't like all the change either.
Yeah. It's, so I mean, I guess that's the other thing to really keep in mind that it's not only the parents that are having to deal with it. I mean, the kids.
It's so hard. Which in
turn makes it harder on the parents, I know, but, yeah, I mean, you need to know your kid and make sure that they're doing what they need to do too to
it is
keep their spirits up, mental health up.
Mental health is the hugest part of it, and they kids go through depressions. They miss their friends. They miss school. They miss their activities. And when we were back in San Diego, I got them back into gymnastics, and they loved that. And when Matthew and I started getting back on the same page, we started talking about traveling again. And it was kind of like, I don't know if we can. The kids won't want to. They love their gymnastics. They love school for the socialization, but they prefer homeschooling as far as actual learning. So as long as we kept them in gymnastics and play dates, they're happy.
Yeah.
But when COVID happened and it shut down any play dates, it shut down the parks, the hiking, but most importantly, it shut down the gymnastics. And we were just sitting at home doing nothing besides the distance learning, which they could not stand.
Yeah. And they're used to being active.
Exactly. So they, once all those things were taken away, they were like, well, then let's travel again. There's no reason to sit here. But they have their days. We have days on end where we're hiking and we're doing amazing things in national parks. And they're like, this is the best life ever. We're white water rafting. We're doing all kinds of cool things. But then there are days where it's like, okay, mommy needs a break. We're just staying in the RV. Daddy's going to work and we're not doing anything today. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'm starting to miss my friends.
Yeah.
So they have their ups and downs still with that part of it.
I'm sure a lot of people listening to this are probably like, yeah, well, that's, you know, really easy to just pick up and go, well, it actually is. First time we did this, we did it in 5 weeks. We owned a home in Vegas. We sold all of our stuff. Rented out our home, sold our two cars, bought a new truck, bought a fifth wheel.
Made it happen.
We're not rich. At the time, we were living paycheck to paycheck. I mean, barely getting by.
Yeah.
So to heck with it. And it could be done. This time, when COVID hit, I was like, I'm done. I'm done. Me and Kimberly on the same page. I am done. 2 weeks. 2 weeks time, I made a phone call. I had to be up in this beautiful national park in Yellowstone in 2 weeks.
Yep.
So what gave you the first idea to go on the road as a family?
She wanted to go to Thailand. Forest place.
I wanted a different life.
Yeah.
I'm not the American dream type of girl. I don't want a big house. I'm tiny girl kind of living, total minimalist.
I used to have it too. Before we had the kids, we had a little more money then, didn't we?
We did have a lot more money before the kids. But that was just never for me. I don't want to, you know, I chose the massage therapist because it was a job I could, first of all, love doing. I absolutely love making people feel better and it would relax me. But I also knew I could work part-time hours and make full-time money. Mm-hmm. And I've never wanted to work full-time. I want, even if we never had kids, I want to travel. I want to
experience life.
Awesome.
I owned my own business at the time.
There was no traveling. They were like,
he was working forever.
You know, it was recent before, I don't know how many years ago we sold that business, but, it paid for our bills and, she worked just to get out of the house and do stuff. Mm-hmm. And things were great and money and never think you're going to have any problems.
Yeah.
She wanted to go very far away to a country I was very unaware of. And, I said, all right, fine. How about this?
You're compromised.
I'll meet you in the middle somehow. And we came up, I made the phone call. Man, I think.
You were at a point in Vegas where we just weren't happy.
Yeah. We sold our home in San Diego and we immediately got priced out. We had owned that home since 2007, 2008.
2007 was sold in 2016.
Right. And we've sold it. And man, did we get priced out right away. San Diego is just, it's awful. So I was born there. So
yeah.
So be priced out of my own hometown. It's really heartbreaking for me, actually, at the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Three kids were born there.
And we had no desire, really, to live in Vegas, but it was a quarter of the price, and we had family there, so, and we could still drive to San Diego, so we figured we'd try it.
Neighborhood was great. Neighborhoods, they have great neighborhoods out there.
And great hiking. Great hiking.
Great hiking. Problem was my job was taking me towards the areas I did not want to be in. And so it was taking me miserable. And seeing the signs, and I was just seeing it every, and it was just depressing me. It was bringing me down, so I needed to make a change. I didn't get help with the problem.
Yes,
I made a change, but didn't get help.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we ultimately had our mishap. But
right, but
sometimes you just got to make a change, though, too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he came to me one day and he said, I either have to find a new job or we could get an RV and travel. And he knows me. Like, I'm like, RV, yes, let's do it. Like, you know, I've always had that kind of spirit. I met him because I left my hometown, just packed up my car and drove, and I ended up in San Diego.
Oh, funny. Okay.
And then he couldn't leave San Diego because of his job, so I settled down with him. But I always wanted to still travel and show the kids the world, and we couldn't afford to do that living in the house with the
right, the
jobs. And
we got some great vacations, didn't I? Being in my business, I was able to take a little more time off.
Before kids, we did.
When we had kids, she wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, and the money, got cut. She made really good money. Mm-hmm. She was working full-time, so they got cut in half there, almost really.
Yeah.
So to do go through that, we've been through a lot. You know, there's a lot we've been through. There's a lot other people gone through, and we love hearing those stories because it helps us too.
Absolutely.
Hearing from other families, you know, when you're worried about life. Right now with COVID, you think you just need to make change. You need to go. My philosophy is go. Stop thinking about it so much. You've got two directions or you've got three directions. Pick one and go and make it the right one. And that's all I've always done. And we've done it.
Yeah, we've always gone off our gut feeling.
You know, we think about it, but I don't know which way to go. And then you just squash it because you're scared.
Right.
Just go and make that the right decision, and your life will work out.
Now, saying
your decision making will make it if you trust yourself.
Saying that, I totally agree with that, obviously, because that's how we choose to live. But I know our lifestyle isn't for everyone.
Right.
So my biggest piece of advice is to work on yourself, and everything else around you will fall into place.
Right.
Definitely agree with that.
Yeah, you said that earlier.
Yeah,
you have to work on yourself first, and that's really hard for parents to do because they always put the kids first.
Right.
And that I was totally that mom who always put my kids first, and I finally started putting myself first this year, and my kids are happier for it.
I would agree. Yeah.
And that's what's great about having a partner that you trust in, because you know what? I'm the guy who's going to jump off that bridge into that Niagara Falls and go, let's do it. And Cameron's gonna be right behind me with a life preserver. Can you throw that? I'm gonna meet him on the other side.
I'm just gonna get there the safer way.
A little safer way.
Well, this has been not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this has been awesome. I appreciate you guys so much,
and thank you for having us.
Appreciate your time here.
We appreciate it greatly.
Just a little recap. So your Facebook community is Dating Your Kids.
Date Your Kids is a group to inspire the parents. And then we will be having Badass Families for people who are interested in our coaching.
Awesome. We will definitely be following you on that. And
awesome.
And
thank you.
And when we get our retreat center.
Yes.
Speakers and coaches there as well.
Absolutely. We so look forward to that.
Message out
I can't wait to get to that place.
I know. I'm so excited for it.
Wait. And I've already got an offer to make my deep fried tacos.
We could even probably have you pick up your massage skills again.
Right? I always have my table with me.
That is true. I'm feeling all massage right. Tonight.
Okay, TMI.
All right, this has been Honeymoon Mindset. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Again, you can listen every week, Thursday at 6 p.m.
Eastern
time, yes. Or 3 p.m. Western time, Pacific time. So, again, we had Matthew and Kimberly Mullins with us talking about parenting, how they parent, their parenting skills, how to date your kids, and how important it is to spend that time with your kids. You look like you want to say something.
No, and just their badass coaching.
Yep. So, again, thank you for listening to Honeymoon Mindset, and we'll catch you guys next week. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week on Honeymoon Mindset. Make sure to check us out at our website, www.honeymoonmindset.com. If you found value in our show, please check us out on our Facebook group, Honeymoon Mindset, and share with a friend. If you and your partner want to experience more passion in your relationship, please send us an email at passionatelifementors@gmail.com. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Central. Thank you. This is Beth.
And James.
Live like us in paradise with a honeymoon mindset.